Welcome to the DNVGL Talks Energy podcast series. Electrification, rise of renewables and new technologies, supported by more data and IT systems, are transforming the power system. Join us each week as we discuss these changes with guests from around the industry.
Welcome to a new series of DNVGL Talks Energy, series 5 of this podcast, and we start with a guest from DNVGL. So I have here with me Michael Wilkinson, who has a new role as Global Segment Leader, Energy Digitalization. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Matthias. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Michael, we have a really interesting topic to talk about. We want to talk about data analytics in the electricity sector. Before we start, it would be great if you could talk a bit about yourself as a person and your career history within DNVGL before.
Yeah, absolutely. So my background is from renewables and recently stepping into this role of now taking a wider remit across the energy value chain. So really my job is to drive digitalization in the energy industry and to help customers right across the energy value chain to respond to some of the rapid changes and disruption resulting from new digital technologies. And really, I see for DNVGL, the opportunity there is about combining digital technology with our domain experience. And I think that's the real sort of key aspect of it.
Right. Actually, interestingly, myself, I started more or less in the renewable industry as well. But what I found was what was very interesting, starting as a very kind of niche business, maybe the tree huggers, which nobody really believed in. This is now something which is driving innovation. So utilities have to wake up to that theme. So what would you see there is how does that technology help us also to advance on the digitalization theme?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And for me, I think there's in the energy industry there's three main trends that people talk about. There's decarbonization, so this proliferation of renewables. Decentralization, which is also about renewables being embedded more in the grid and about people buying and selling energy at the distribution level. And then digitalization as well. And by digitalization, it's a bit of a sort of buzzword in many ways, or there's a lot of hype around it. But for me, I think the best definition I've heard recently, someone described digitalization as the set of business opportunities which are created by computers, large and small, the connectivity between them through the power of the internet, software, so analytics and artificial intelligence, but then also sensors and all the data that's generated from them. So within the renewable space, that's in many ways sort of born digital. You know, these wind turbines and solar PV panels and so on have always been generating data. You know, the very first wind turbines started with SCADA systems generating lots and lots of data. And about sort of like 20 years ago, all this data was, it was too much for people. They couldn't handle it. But now with this progression of digitalization, the opportunities to actually gather that data, connect it together, and then do something with it is increasingly becoming realized. It is real. And then the power electricity sort of distribution transmission system has seen this all happening within renewables, and they're now looking at this and saying, well, actually, we wouldn't mind a bit of that. Actually, we need some of that new technology. We need some of that digital technology to come and help us to transform our own part of the electricity sector.
So when we talk about data analytics in the electricity sector, there's a lot of vision. There's a lot of fear as well. So years back, we had the utilities talking about the death spiral of utilities. We talked about rebalancing of the different actors in the grid. So people who did renewables had a lot of incentives. The people who had to integrate it had a lot of problems. At least that was the perception. The things you just talked about, maybe we can use this podcast to establish or break that down. How do we make these things happen?
Yeah, exactly. So you're right, and there's a lot of hype around digitalization, but it's not an end in itself. Digitalization is not an end in itself. It's a means to an end, and it's helping us to achieve our ambitions as an industry. So we've written this white paper recently called Data Analytics in the Electricity Sector. And there we talk about the applications of data analytics and make it a bit more real and say, so I think there's three main categories that you can group the application of data analytics, and it's forecasting and operations and then energy trading and markets. And all of those different elements of the energy value chain have got, or different processes within the electricity sector have got really nice examples of applications where digitalization is helping this transformation.
Yeah, that would maybe be interesting if we just, you know, stick to those. So what about forecasting? How is digitalization, connectivity, how is it helping?
Yeah, so with forecasting, really it's all about the ability to predict power flows minutes ahead. We talked about renewables before, and renewables, of course, are intermittent. They generate power when there is natural resource available to generate that power. But one of the really interesting things about wind, for example, and solar, but wind, you know, they are intermittent. Wind turbines are intermittent in what they generate, but also you can forecast that really, really accurately. So you can forecast the electricity that's going to be produced day ahead, or you know, an hour ahead even, really accurately. So that's where data analytics really comes into its own, and the ability to take data from wind turbines, wind farms, feed that into your analytics models in real time and use that to refine your power forecast for your renewable generation. So that's one example where forecasting is really helping to integrate renewables into the power generation sector.
I'm always wondering, when we talk about this forecasting, we can do that on the generation side, but should it not also help us to adopt the loads accordingly? I think that's not happening at the moment. At the moment, we do conventional generation to right through the bumps, but in future, could we use that technology to kind of balance the grid?
Exactly, and I think that's where there's huge scope for forecasting to be able to understand. So first of all, to measure the actual power at many more different levels within the grid, right down to the distribution level, but then also use that and feed it into your model, into your digital twin of your power grid, and use that to properly understand what's happening right now, but also what's going to happen in the future. There's a nice example from IBM Watson applied their IoT platform onto FinGrid, I think it was. And there they fitted a load of IoT devices along the electricity lines and into the distribution grid, and then use that to gather the data, feed it into their models, and give real-time understanding of what was happening, but also combine that with forecasting to understand what is going to happen in the next hour ahead, the next 30 minutes ahead, the next 5 minutes ahead even.
Mm. So if you mentioned that this paper you have just published is also looking at operations, and a little bit, I think you talked about operations just now, but how can utilities, grid operators, utilize new technology? Or what are you covering in this operations chapter?
Yeah, so with operations, I think there's some really nice examples of how data is being used by grid operators, for example, to detect fraud using smart meters. You know, they can now gather much more data in real time and then predict or understand what should be used versus what is being used, and use that to identify overuse and fraud, for example. There's nice examples from using data within the renewable generation world as well, so asset optimization. We've got this really nice thing, that tool that we've been developing recently called Wind Gemini, which is a digital twin of an operating wind turbine. And you know, we've been working in renewables for many years, and we've got a lot of domain experience there. But the really interesting part of that has been to take it from an offline do an analysis and then send a report, and then, you know, 3 months later you might implement some changes, to take it from that into, let's take real data from wind turbines in real time, feed it into your model, take your load calculations, update those load calculations in real time, and then use that to give your wind farm owner or operator, but then also your your network operator as well, your grid operator, real-time information about what's happening and what is going to happen on that wind farm as well. So there, I think there's huge applications for analytics to help improve the efficiency of our renewable generation.
Yeah, so you mentioned Wind Gemini, digital wind turbine, digital wind farm, digital twin. I always wonder, up to now, we design wind turbines towards a certain wind class and a certain standard, of course, and then every turbine in a farm around the world at the same time, the type has kind of a certain controller making sure that the wind turbine is operating the way it was certified. With digitization, with this digital twin technology, could we be more smarter and have individual control functions for each individual turbine, basically to optimize for generation over lifetime or for the lifetime itself or whatever it is?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're seeing people actually doing that as well. We're seeing pilot examples at the moment of people individually controlling turbines as part of a whole wind farm control system, which they can then use that to respond directly to requirements from the grid to maybe turn down generation, but to turn down generation when you need to curtail the grid, but then do that in a really smart way so that your turbines, and you don't just turn off one row of turbines, you turn some of them off, and you do that in such a way that you actually balance the loads across the wind farm, and therefore your considerations are not just can I reduce the power output being generated by my wind farm, but also what's the impact on the remaining life of these turbines as well. And that's the really neat bit, to say actually there's more than just the reduce the power, but also reduce the power and do it in a smart way so that my wind farm can potentially last longer. So the money lost in the lost generation can then be recovered by allowing you to operate your wind farm for extra years later on in life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I want to come back to this pilots as such, which you mentioned. But before we go there, maybe let's look into the energy trading and markets, which you mentioned as another chapter of the paper. We had in another podcast series the Brooklyn Microgrid as a guest. So maybe you can talk a bit about what technology can help us there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think energy trading and markets, for me, is one of the really interesting new ways that that digitalization is really coming to bear. So in various countries, we've got this rollout, this smart meter rollout program. And when that was, when those programs were launched in different countries, there was an economic assessment that was done that made an assessment of what is the financial benefit to a particular country of the rollout of smart meters. You know, this is not a cheap thing. You can't just go and change every meter in everybody's house at zero cost. You know, there's a real, very substantial cost associated with that. So we're seeing this rollout of smart meters, and part of the economic assessment really has been around what can you do with the data that's being generated from those smart meters. So you mentioned Brooklyn Microgrid. There's other examples where data from consumers is really being used in a really more active way. So, for example, in Cornwall, in southwest UK, there's an example of a local energy market which is being created and managed by Centrica. And what they're doing there is Cornwall is a particular part of the UK where it's a lot of renewable generation. It's pretty windy, but also it's at the end of some long transmission lines, and that makes for a pretty tricky situation where you've got a lot of curtailment, constraint on the grid. So this local energy market is intending to allow consumers and generators to buy and sell electricity from the transmission lines, but also between themselves as well, and also to buy flexibility within that whole system. So that's being enabled by all this data being generated by the generation, but also all this data being generated by smart meters as well, so connect them together. And then also use technologies like blockchain, for example, to allow that trading of buying and selling to be done in a really secure way that people have got trust in it.
Talking about these things, it kind of becomes clear that making this reality, you've mentioned pilots before, we have to get from pilot stage to like industrial use and rollout. But to do this, we also will have to cut, for example, through industry silos. There's a lot of regulation. Coming to an end now of this episode already, but maybe we can kind of wrap up. How do we move from all these different interesting developments, which work on small scale, to really make that happen on a global level?
Exactly. So someone said recently to me that we should be working in the airline industry. There's so many pilots everywhere, right? So the challenge is to take these little test examples and make it real and roll it out. There's a good example of that from our smart cable guard product, which is being used to predict and detect failures within distribution lines. There, we've developed that in combination with the university over many years, refined the technology, but now it's being rolled out, and it's in an industrialized solution, which is being rolled out in the thousands of units. And we're seeing examples of that around other parts of the industry where people are really, they've found a solution that works, and now they're rolling it out in the wide scale. You mentioned regulation there as well, and I think that's all this nice talk about these digital technologies is great and very exciting, but when it comes to actually making it real, I think that there is a significant challenge around regulation. One of the features of digitalization is that it lowers the barrier to entry. So we should see a lot of new players, but the regulations are pretty heavyweight and geared towards established players. There's some real challenges there. And for example, back to the UK again, Ofgem, the UK regulator, their stated aim is to protect the interests of consumers. And I think we're at a sort of critical point now where regulators around the world need to understand, is that protect the interests in the short term to ensure that they've got lower energy prices this winter, or is it to ensure that we're able to take the benefits of digitalization? And to do that, we need to make sure that the regulators are working with startup companies and allowing them to actually implement some of these new technologies in the grid.
So thank you, Michael, for these very interesting insights around data analytics in the electricity sector. I understand this report is available for download from today onwards.
It is, yeah.
So once again, thank you for having the time and talking about these interesting topics. To the listeners, thank you very much for listening in. This was Michael Wilkinson, the Global Segment Leader, Energy Digitalization on Data Analytics in the Electricity Sector.
Thank you for listening to this DNVGL Talks Energy podcast. To hear more podcasts in the series, please visit dnvgl.com/talksenergy.